Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, Bicycle.net, and Fredcast Tours. This daily summary of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California will be presented soon after the conclusion of each day's racing so that you can stay up to date on this important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this Daily Tour summary. This year, we'll be riding from Salzburg, Austria to Venice, Italy, climbing the Dolomites and traversing some of the famous Giro d'Italia routes. The trip takes place June 25th through July 4th, 2008. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's Daily Tour Podcast, presented by the Fredcast, powered by the resources of Bicycle.net, and brought to you by Fredcast Tours. Welcome back to our coverage of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. This is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I'm glad that you've decided to join us once again on this daily coverage from this year's Tour of California, powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. Well, as we get ready to go into stage three of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California, here are your standings going into the race. In first place in the general classification, it's Tyler Farah from Team Slipstream Chipotle. In second, Fabian Cancellara from Team CSC. He's just 1 second behind Tyler Farah. In third, Tom Bonin from Belgium and Team Quickstep, 4 seconds back. In fourth, Bradley Wiggins from Great Britain. He's from Team High Road, 5 seconds back. And his teammate, Gerald Ciolek from Germany, 7 seconds back in fifth place. In sixth, Levi Leipheimer from the United States and Team Astana. He was last year's champion of this race. In seventh, David Miller from Team Slipstream Chipotle. In eighth, Gustav Larsson from Team CSC. In ninth, David Zabriskie from Team Slipstream Chipotle. And in tenth, Ben Jacquemains from the Bissell Pro Cycling Team. And Ben is just 10 seconds back of our leader, Tyler Farah. So you can see how close this race is at this point. As for our other jerseys, for the green jersey for the points classification, Heinrich Hausler from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner is in first with 22 points. In second, JJ Hayato from Team CSC with 21 points. And in third, Gerald Ciolek from Team High Road with 18 points. Leading the young rider classification is the same Gerald Ciolek from Team High Road. And leading in points for the King of the Mountains classification, it's Jackson Stewart from Team BMC, followed closely by Scott Needham with 12 points to Jackson's 14. And in third, Jonathan Sunt from the Kelly Benefit Strategies Medifast team with 10 points. Now, we'll recap today's racing in just a couple of minutes, but first, I just wanted to go over with you one more time what today's stage looks like. It's 103 miles or 165 kilometers, and it is going to be a toughie. We start out with a sprint within the first 15 miles in Patterson, California, and then the climbing begins. There are three Category 4 climbs in a row, and then the highest point ever in the Amgen Tour of California, Mount Hamilton, towering well over 4,000 feet, and that is a beyond category climb. From there, the riders will begin to descend until, just before they get to San Jose, there is the infamous Sierra Road, and it is a Category 1 climb. As I mentioned yesterday, I did that climb in one of the VIP cars in the caravan last year, and I was out of breath, and I was sitting ensconced in a very luxurious car. That's a tough climb. Now, the day's weather did not start out that great today, but by the time they left Modesto and went into San Jose, the skies had gotten much, much bluer, and we will talk about those results in just a couple of minutes. But before we do, as always, we managed to get a number of really great interviews before the race today. Starting off with a teammate of Needham and Stewart, the two BMC riders who have been away, far away, in the last two stages. We talked to Tony Cruz, formerly of the Discovery Channel Pro Cycling Team. And first, we wanted to know, Tony, what's it like being on this team as opposed to last year?
In terms of the staff and the riders and all of that, it feels the same. It's a class squad, and that was part of the reason, you know. I had to talk to them a while back and notice that they had a good program going, and, you know, I like the riders and the team. So for me, it was a good fit, easy transition, and I'm happy I did it.
And be that as it may, what's it like racing against some of your former teammates, some of the guys that you used to support, you're now trying to beat?
It's weird, but, you know, once the racing really gets hard or whatever, you focus on the job at hand, and, you know, you talk about how awkward it is afterwards.
And of course, with BMC being away the last couple of days and in that solo break, is that the plan for today? What will happen with BMC?
I'm thinking there's going to be a lot more activity before the climbs today amongst the other teams. So we'll definitely have someone in the breakaway, but probably not a lone rider.
Will that be you?
Yeah, I'm going for it.
And finally, with half the racing over for the Amgen Tour of California, what's the plan for the team? What can we expect from Tony Cruz and Team BMC?
We got three really good guys for the GC, Lil Mos and Louder, so we got to protect those guys and then still look to win a stage.
We also had the chance to talk to Tony's former Discovery Channel teammate, now on Astana, Vyacheslav Ekimov. And we asked Eki first off if he found that there was any movement with ASO.
Well, what I know for sure now, they have ASO have a lot of pressure from all over the sides. You know, hope they haven't closed this book yet, and the page is still open. And I mean, Johan Brunel is probably kind of negotiating on a political level in that matter. And, I mean, we just hope, you know, we can be there.
And with Johan Brunel doing that political negotiating, as Eki said, we wanted to know from Eki if there was anything he thought that the team, that the racers could do to convince ASO to let Astana into this year's Tour de France.
Well, for now, what we can do more, we can, we probably can do better racing, and we can transact this image of Discovery into a brand new Astana team and see if it works.
And finally, what could we expect from Team Astana today? What were the team's plans and strategies?
Well, definitely we have a defending champion in the team, Limfire, and he wants to defend his title, of course, and I think if he wants to do that, I mean, these things should start from the day of today.
Well, we'll find out later whether or not those words from Vyacheslav Ekimov will prove to be prophetic when we start talking about the results in today's Stage 3 from Modesto to San Jose. Next, we had the opportunity to speak with Sean Tucker, the owner of the Toyota United Pro Cycling Team.
Yeah, so far the Tour of California, actually, we've been quite pleased with it ourselves. I mean, we had Dominique Rolland well-positioned in Stage 1, and, you know, we think he could have won that stage. If you look at the Versus coverage, he was passing Paolo Bettini on the left with 150 meters to go, and he was flying by everybody. And unfortunately, with the chicane coming over and Paolo sort of sitting up, Dominique had to actually completely lock up his rear wheel and go back around, and he still came in fourth. So, you know, that we think that was an opportunity for us that was missed. But that's bike racing. But he still came in fourth, so we were pleased considering the circumstances. Yesterday, you know, the guys did the best they could, but they were just, you know, they just weren't as fast. So, we're hoping that Thursday in San Luis Obispo, we think that's a real opportunity for us. And then we think Saturday is another opportunity for us. Today is going to be difficult. We're just looking to sort of consolidate Ben Day and hopefully he can make a move up the leaderboard, you know, from the overall. But I would really look to Thursday and Saturday for Toyota United to be taking a win.
We asked Sean, which of the riders on your team are the ones that you think that our listeners should be watching out for over the next few days?
I would say Yvonne Dominguez and Dominique Rolland. They're both, Dominique Rolland in particular is going very, very well right now. Dominguez is still trying to find his legs. I mean, he was going really well last week, and this week he's sort of, the weather, you know, he's just not a cold weather kind of guy. And So if the weather, you know, if the sun comes out and he sniffs the finish line, you better watch out.
Now, you know, it isn't every day that you get the chance to sit down with a team owner and with, as I keep saying, everything that's gone on in professional cycling, with the doping situation, with so many teams being so high profile about their anti-doping stance. You just aren't hearing any rumors, any buzz about anything negative when it comes to those kinds of situations with Toyota United, and they're not public about their anti-doping program. The question is, Sean, is that something that is intentional? Is that part of the attraction of a team like Toyota United?
Yeah, absolutely. We're totally clean on Toyota United. I mean, I believe to my soul and my core that every single guy in this team is clean, and if I didn't, I would be probably taking a lot of steps that those teams are. But all those teams you've mentioned, CSC and Slipstream and these teams, I mean, the majority of them, they've had problems, whether it was their directors, team owners, or their riders doing doping in the past. I never doped in my life as a pro rider. I didn't even drink caffeine, for crying out loud. I would do, you know, a can of Coke at the end of the biggest races of the year. So I'm just very, you know, clean myself. So it's like, you're not going to see any problems with this team. I mean, it's the only issue I'm concerned about is I recently read an article in USA Today that said that they did, an independent agency did testing of just simple multivitamins over the counter from, like, you know, stores like Safeway and Ralph's, and 11% of those multivitamins that were tested actually had traces of different basically banned substance that are on the banned substance list. So that's my concern, is that whether it's our team or any team, that someone would just simply take a multivitamin and can actually test positive. And that's a crime. And I really feel like the entire doping system sort of needs to be reworked, where if you take something serious like an EPO or steroids, you should actually be banned for life, as far as I'm concerned. But if you take a multivitamin and you can prove, I bought this multivitamin at Safeway and it's one of these 11% cases, I think you should get possibly nothing, or at a minimum, you know, 2 or 3 months. But if you can prove it's from a certain batch, I don't think you should be penalized at all. And everything in between, you know what I mean?
We then had the opportunity to ask Sean the same question we've asked so many others here on the show. What about the Astana situation and ASO's decision to keep them from the Tour de France? His answer speaks volumes about the man and his team.
You know, the information just came out before the tour started, so I haven't read much about it. I can come on the business side as a business owner. I mean, I completely understand where they're coming from. ASO, you know, all they know from their perspective, and in defense of them, all they know is that last year the aquamarine jerseys with the name Astana on it caused a problem for their race. And the fans, they don't know the intricacies of the sport. They don't know that Brunel's come in and he's got this testing procedure and they've got all these different riders, et cetera. They don't know that. They're just going to know from their perspective, oh, there's that aquamarine team again with the word Astana on it, and they were a problem for this race last year. So I think from that perspective, I completely agree with the race organizer, 110%. Now, taking my business hat on and looking at the rider's perspective and, you know, the director's perspective, it's not good. I mean, they've, you know, I'm sure promised their sponsors and the riders, you know, that they're going to ride in these big races. But, you know, it's almost like in hindsight, they should have sort of gone directly to the major races and made sure that, you know, and again, this is playing Monday morning quarterback. I'm not saying I would have done this either, but I'm saying in hindsight, it would be nice if they could have gone and sort of got a guarantee from the organizers that they're not going to have this sort of an issue. Because on the business side, I completely understand ASO's decision, and I actually support it. But from the rider's perspective, it's just it's kind of a raw deal, and I'm not really sure how to reconcile the two of those at this point.
Wow, I think that was an amazingly honest answer, one that has been well considered, and quite frankly, a breath of fresh air in this Amgen Tour of California. So we thought we'd ask, Sean, Michael Ball, good for professional cycling or bad for professional cycling? What do you think?
Let's just say no comment.
Somehow I'm not surprised to hear him say that. Well, we are hoping to get Michael Ball here on the show in the next couple of days, and we will bring that interview to you, because whether you love him or hate him, everybody has an opinion about Michael Ball and about his work with Rock Racing and about his opinions, some of which we brought you earlier this week in Michael Ball's press conference. But, you know, when you start talking about Astana being excluded from the Tour de France, when you start talking about riders' rights and about doping and about the UCI, the name Michael Ball keeps coming up, and we will try to get him here on the show before the end of the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. And speaking of doping controversies and someone that was alluded to by Sean Tucker, we had the opportunity to have a brief conversation with Bjarne Riis from Team CSC. You will recall from yesterday's show that as the Peloton was entering those finishing circuits, JJ Hayato got a flat. Fabian Cancellara gave him his wheel. We wanted to know, was that planned?
Yeah, well, obviously, Fabian, he did a mistake. He should not be the one who gave to give. But he's a nice guy, and he just wanted to be a nice guy, you know. But he also realized afterward that wasn't the best thing. But I was still managed.
Now, we had a limited time to talk to Bjarne today, but we wanted to know how Team CSC was doing and whether they were ready to fight for the jersey in the mountains today.
The team is strong and they're ready, so we go out fighting.
And finally today, we had the opportunity to speak with Jonathan Vaughters from Team Slipstream Chipotle, and we wanted to know what Slipstream's strategy was going to be for today's stage going into all those climbs.
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of good time trialists on our team, so I think, you know, today is a day where we just want to make sure everyone, you know, is still in contention when the time trial comes around. So, yeah, I mean, our strategy, we don't necessarily need to crack the race open or anything today. I think that's really more in Levi's court than it is in ours.
Now, yesterday there was a comment made in the press conference that yesterday's stage was perhaps the best day in Team Slipstream's history. So we wanted to know what Jonathan thought about that.
Well, today's great. Being in the yellow jersey, I'm sure it really gives the guys a lot of confidence. I think, you know, everyone on the team is just really happy that we're executing well as a team in making our strategies reality. So that's the reason, you know, everyone's so happy and pumped about the race.
And since Jonathan opened the door, we figured we might as well walk right through it. And we wanted to know, how's Danny Pate doing? He looks like he's in pretty good shape. Is he going to win the time trial this week?
I think Danny is going to have a really, really good time trial in this race. I think he's going to be also incredible today.
Well, there you have it. There are pre-race interviews before today's stage three from Modesto to San Jose. So how did today's very difficult stage shake out? Well, you will remember, first of all, we just spoke with Jonathan Vaughters, and he mentioned the golden jersey because it was on the shoulders of Team Slipstream Chipotle's Tyler Farah as the day began. Unfortunately, however, Farah has been suffering a stomach bug, and in the middle of today's stage, Farah had to abandon the 2008 Amgen Tour of California. Can you imagine the pain and the illness that he must have been going through to abandon a race when he's wearing the golden jersey? And of course, our thoughts go out to him for a speedy recovery, because he is a definite rising star in American cycling. Now, of course, for the leader of any race to abandon, there has to be a pretty good reason. And there were a number of rumors swirling around today about what it might have been. Could it have been food poisoning? What was it that caused Tyler Farah to drop out? Well, Dr. Alan Lim, renowned sports physiologist and the physiologist for Slipstream, commented on that later today.
Yeah, well, we actually definitely think that it was a stomach virus of some sort. It began with rider Steven Koza on Sunday in Palo Alto. And so he started the day in Santa Rosa sick, and we just basically gave him an off day and tried to hope that he would make it through the day and that he could make a recovery. And then by the morning of Santa Rosa, Tyler was feeling the same virus. So his day on Monday in Sacramento was really a pretty incredible day and a great performance. We were hoping, just like with Steven, that he would actually be able to get through today's stage, that we'd basically back off the pressure and just let him do his own ride. But unfortunately, just the terrain and the course today was too much, and he had to withdraw.
Well, with Tyler Farah out of the race, that meant that the yellow jersey obviously was up for grabs. And again, remember, this was a tough stage with those three Category 4 climbs, and then, of course, the beyond category Mount Hamilton towering, looming ahead of the riders. Well, those first three KOM points were won by Scott Nidham from BMC. You'll remember him from yesterday and his solo breakaway. The Mount Hamilton climb was won by Jose Luis Rubiera from Team Astana, and the fifth up Sierra Road was won by Robert Gesing from Team Rabobank, with Levi Leipheimer right behind him and Team Astana. And by this point, you know, you would have thought that the Peloton would have learned from last year's stage coming into San Jose as those riders were heading up Sierra Road, because then Levi Leipheimer was alone and away, and his teammates were working on his behalf to break up the Peloton to ensure that Leipheimer would have victory and remain in the yellow jersey. The same thing happened this year, where Gesink and Leipheimer obviously forged a partnership early on, with Gesink getting those KOM points over Sierra Road, Leipheimer right on his wheel, and they worked together extremely hard all the way until the finish in San Jose, with Leipheimer graciously, and the way good cycling sportsmen will, let Robert Gesink take the stage victory. But in doing so, through the partnership that he formed with Gesink from Rabobank, Levi Leipheimer is now, and once again, the wearer of the golden jersey in the Amgen Tour of California. Now, don't get too excited if you're a Levi Leipheimer fan, because close on his heels in second place is Team CSC's Fabian Cancellara. Cancellara is just 13 seconds off Levi Leipheimer's first place time. Third place is Robert Gesink from Team Rabobank, 15 seconds back. In fourth, it's David Miller from Team Slipstream Chipotle, 20 seconds back. And in fifth, Gustav Larsson from Team CSC, 21 seconds back. Rounding out the top 10 in sixth, Dave Zabriskie from Slipstream Chipotle. And in seventh, Christian Vandevelde, also from Team Slipstream. In eighth, Chris Horner from Team Astana. In ninth, Alexander Mose from Team BMC, and in 10th, Victor Hugo Peña Grisales from Rock Racing. And he's only 31 seconds back, so this race remains tight. But it's those one and two spots that everyone seems to be keying on right now, simply because you must remember that coming up later in this week, there is the individual time trial in Solvang, California. Who is your time trial world champion? Well, it's not golden jersey wearer Levi Leipheimer. Instead, it's second place, Fabian Cancellara. Now, Levi is a good time trialer. He has proved that time and time again, and he's done it right here in the Tour of California. Nevertheless, you've got the world champion breathing down your neck just 13 seconds back. This should be a really exciting week. Rounding out the other jerseys, Robert Gesink, your stage winner today, is wearing the Best Young Riders jersey. Nydam, of course, from BMC, is still in the King of the Mountains jersey, but he's followed close behind by none other than Robert Gesink from Team Astana. And in the green sprint points jersey, Heinrich Hausler from Team Gerolsteiner with 22 points, followed closely behind by JJ Hiato from Team CSC with 21 points. So after today's stage, at the press conference, we had the chance to talk to Robert Gesink and ask him how this win ranked in his career. And by the way, today's press conference was held in one of those big rooms with a high ceiling, and so I know it's a little bit echoey, but it's the comments of the riders, of course, that count. Here's Robert Gesink.
When you become professional, I think only professional wins count. And then I had one win last year in the Tour of Belgium, but this one is a little bit better than that, because the field of riders is much better over here.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, that Sierra Road climb is tough, and Robert Gesink was pedaling his legs off. And when he looked back, the question was he surprised to see only Levi with him?
Yeah, it was. I was planning to get away with Levi like this, because if I go with other riders, I still have to beat them in the sprint, and I'm not the kind of sprinter which you should be to win on a flat course like this in the end. So I had to be alone or with Levi only to be possible to win here. So that's why I started. Yeah, first Mauricio, my teammate, started riding. And then I took over and tried to drop the guys to be just with the two of us.
Now, we heard a little bit earlier in the week about how some of the riders talk to each other in the peloton and what they talk about. So the question for Robert was today, what was it that you and Levi were talking about as you were heading into the finish line?
Yeah, we just screamed at each other to ride harder and faster to make it to the finish line before the other guys. So it wasn't really a lot of talking, but it was just riding for it and to get as fast as the finish line as possible.
And then the race leader himself, Levi Leipheimer, stepped into the room and up to the microphone, and we had a chance to ask him a little bit about, well, what today's stage meant, what the strategy was, where it came from.
We obviously knew that today was going to be important, and I think today was the hardest stage we've seen of the Tour of California in its three-year history. With Mount Hamilton, you know, it turned out to be a really hard climb. And I think, for Team Astana, we had something to prove today. And the team was phenomenal, I think.
Levi was then asked to comment on today's stage winner, Robert Gesink, and on whether he knew, as they were heading up that climb, whether he knew that he and Gesink would be able to make this work. And remember, this is a climb that Levi knows very well. This is the third year that he's had, what looked to be major success, and this year he did stay away. So what did he think about riding this with Gesink?
Oh, yeah, I know Robert quite well. Last year, he and Chris and I were the ones that went up the climb together. I've seen him at the Tour of Germany. And he's a huge talent, and he's a star of the future. And I predicted yesterday he was going to be my ally today. And, I think we just worked well together, and we both got something out of it.
And finally, with Friday's time trial obviously looming large for the general classification contenders, what are Levi's thoughts about tomorrow before they even get to that Solvang time trial on Friday?
Tomorrow is not an easy day. It's, I'm pretty sure, the longest stage of the race. A lot of climbing. Could be a little bit of weather. A lot of pressure on our shoulders. We have to control the race. I've been there before, so I have that going for me. But, I think that tomorrow is the responsibility of my teammates, and then it's my turn on Friday. So I have to concentrate on recovering and just doing my best.
And there you go, today's yellow jersey wearer, Levi Leipheimer from Team Astana. Well, let's talk about tomorrow's stage. Tomorrow is stage 4. The riders will be traveling from Seaside, which is near Monterey, California, down to San Luis Obispo. This is another one of those extremely picturesque stages because it goes right down the Pacific Coast Highway, right down Highway 1 in California, through some of the most beautiful scenery you can imagine in the entire world. But I don't think the riders are going to get the chance to enjoy it quite as much as you and I might if we were out for a Sunday ride or if we were driving our car down Highway 1. And that's because tomorrow's stage is what's known as the Queen Stage. It is the longest stage of the race at 135 plus miles, 218 kilometers. There is one sprint, and then a Category 4 climb at Big Sur, another Category 4 climb followed very, very shortly by a Category 3, then a sprint in San Simeon before the riders end in beautiful downtown San Luis Obispo, California. I don't know about you, but I think that this year's Amgen Tour of California has been extremely exciting, very interesting, not just for the riding, but also a little bit of the controversy and things that are going on. But I think that these athletes are putting on an amazing show. And as so many have commented here on the show today, what an incredible thing to have such a world-class peloton. So many of the world's best riders here in California racing in the Amgen Tour of California. It is a testament to this very young 3-year-old race, to the quality of the riding, and to the quality of the riders. And we're looking forward to several more stages before we end in Pasadena later this week. We'll be with you all week long. We're glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to talking to you again later in the week. thanks so much for joining us here on the show. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com for more information about the Fredcast, the Daily Tour, and much more. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, presented by the Fredcast, powered by the resources of Bicycle.net, and brought to you by Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.